It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Coming up in exactly, let me do some math here, 42 minutes. That's 4 o'clock Eastern time. It's actually a relatively benchmark moment during the MLB offseason. That is the deadline to accept or say no thank you on qualifying offers. So a handful of major MLB free agents were made the qualifying offer, including Pete Alonso and Juan Soto, and they, of course, are going to turn that down. Some have decisions to make. Luis Severino, Sean Manaea, though there's reports that both of them will turn it down. But 4 o'clock is the deadline, and really all that means is they're going to be free agents. They're not accepting the one-year, $21 million deal. And if you lose said players, you're actually going to get a draft pick back. Not that that's going to make any Yankee fan feel better if they lose Juan Soto, or any Met fan feel better if they lose Pete Alonso. So coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll officially know who said yes, who said no, and we'll take a closer look at the latest developments in free agency, including the teams Juan Soto is now meeting with today and over the next few days, and how concerning that may be for all of us. But I am a man of honesty. We all are. We try to hold ourselves accountable. And a few months ago, Tiki Barber said something into the microphone here at WFAN that caused a lot of consternation. Sean, what does consternation mean?
Panic and angst.
Is that correct, Tiki?
Yeah, that's close.
Close enough.
I like that Tiki settles for close.
Basically, Tiki Barber had a very strong opinion about the New York Jets, and it caused a lot of anger from many Jet fans, myself included. I pushed back. We had a little argument. Mm. And a lot of Jet fans said some very mean things about Tiki, such as, "You hate the Jets! You hate the Jets!"
And I say, "I love Nate Hackett."
And he says, "I love Nate Hackett, and I'm just telling you the truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, Jet fans, I want you to open your ears, because you're about to hear something Tiki told you 3 months ago. And your reaction to this rant from Tiki Barber may be very different on November 19th than what it was on September 10th. So, ladies and gentlemen, Tiki Barber telling us that maybe, just maybe, the Jets roster ain't that good.
So, they kept saying, "We have a great talent, so much talent, blah, 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 so much talent." First of all, Tyron Smith is 37 years old, whatever he is. Their wide receiver room is Garrett Wilson. That's it.
Mike Williams was barely on the field.
I'm not saying "and." I'm saying it's Garrett Wilson.
For now, that's the only established one, because Williams is still on a pitch count, and I'd like to see Malachi Corley.
Shut up, Evan. He is not going to be a star for this team. I'm just telling you.
But he doesn't need to be.
If you're talking about how much talent this team has, and that's all Jet fans wanted to talk about, you better be a star. I'm not saying like a superstar, but you better be a star. Mike Williams is not going to be a superstar this year.
Okay.
Xavier Gibson is not going to be a superstar this year. Alan Lazard is not going to be a superstar this year. It is Garrett Wilson. Your running back room is Breece Hall. He could be a superstar. Your offensive line is an old Tyron Smith. I don't know what John Simpson looks like. AVT looked terrible yesterday. Terrible. On that third and one that you're talking about, beat immediately across his face. so that the fullback or tight end, whoever it was, now has to block his guy. The scraping linebacker hits Breece Hall in the backfield. It's just like he was bad. He was bad in pass protection, gave up four or so pressures yesterday. And Morgan Moses is I can't really evaluate him. So where is the stud best offense in football? It's just not there.
You're right. We sucked. Our offensive line wasn't any good. Our receivers room, the guy I'm trying to pitch, Mike Williams, mm-hmm. basically Aaron Rodgers, couldn't wait to throw him away and say, get the hell out of here.
And now he's good in Pittsburgh.
Now he's good in Pittsburgh. The running game was non-existent for the first few weeks of the season. I apologize, Teak. You were right.
Thank you.
They weren't that good.
It's because I watched the tape. The eye in the sky don't lie. I've heard it ever since I was a rookie in the NFL. Like, you better do everything right because that eye is watching you every single moment. Practice and in the NFL. You're not hiding from tape. You might be able to hide from the fans who have no idea what they're watching half
no
the time.
No idea what we're watching half
but
the
time. But
you're
not hiding from the eye and so in the sky. So when I go watch the Jets, and that was early in this season, it was just like, dude, they're not talented. They don't have as much talent as they think they do. And AVT has not been good a lot this year. He just hasn't been. Right, and Aaron Rodgers hasn't been good.
No doubt. And that doesn't even include the defense where Sauce Gardner hasn't been that good. DJ Reed hasn't been that good. Like, they haven't been that good. Well, my only question to you, though.
Sauce is a little bit, I think it's a circumstance of this whatever is happening with this team. He's too good to be playing this poorly.
So why is he playing this poorly? The team being bad is bringing him down?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what it feels like to me. Sauce is a good kid, man.
Like, no, I'm not saying he isn't.
He's got this, I don't know, this like energy about him. It's really cool when you meet him in person. But like, it's hard to get to stay up when everything is dysfunctional around you.
But
everything.
It started even before that. Like, he was having a lousy-ish year, really, from the get-go.
I mean, I hear you.
Maybe it's for our expectations. Maybe our expectations were too high.
Well, you expect him to be this shutdown corner, but out of 600 or so snaps that he's been on the field, he's gotten like 38 targets or 39 targets thrown his way.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you give up a couple of big ones, it's really hard to recover because you're not getting many chances.
Also in the biggest part of the game.
Right. I mean, and that was the unfortunate thing against the Colts.
You were right that the Jets were overrated talent-wise. I absolutely give that to you. I don't know how anyone could argue that right now. But my question to you is, don't they have better talent than 3-8?
Well, I mean, no.
No?
No.
You don't think the talent on this roster... See, now the argument still exists. It's just framed
because
differently.
Because talent means nothing.
3-8.
Talent means nothing. It's how you operate together.
And it's how you're coached.
Coached, yeah, but mostly operating together. And there's just too many misses. And I'm talking about exactly what it sounds like I am. Aaron Rodgers not connecting with Garrett Wilson,
mm-hmm.
or missing wide open Davante Adams, or I don't know, sailing a ball out of bounds because his mechanics are bad because he doesn't trust his left Achilles. Right, all these things are just—it's just the reality of who they are. Right? They're not a well-oiled unit, and like the things that they did great in that game this past weekend, it was nothing special. It wasn't anything schemed. Just throw a slant to Davante Adams, throw a check down to Breece Hall.
Isn't that part of that coaching, though?
Well, I mean, it's partly the quarterback.
Oh, no. The quarterback deserves plenty of blame. I'm not trying to exonerate him.
Right. If it's not there, throw it to the running back.
Right.
You'll be all right. If not, throw it to the tight end. He's usually in an open position. I don't know. They don't work well together. Like, this whole thing feels ill-conceived.
Mm.
In retrospect, it's easy to say that, but it just feels ill-conceived.
Well, they're 3-8. They're ill-conceived. This season's been ill-conceived.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions to buy tickets have been ill-conceived. Growing up a Jet fan, very ill-conceived. 888-808-1019. Chris in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up?
Wonderful.
Nothing much. A couple things, if you could. First of all, the Connor spot, he should be a regular spot. He's great.
He's very good. Yeah, I agree. Exactly. We need to raise some money. We got to pay him big money. He's going to demand big change to be a weekly spot. So if you can help us out, we're in.
Right. He's down.
Okay. No, it's worthwhile. He's got great insight.
Nah, he's great.
A lot of stuff you don't hear. It was good. But I was just wondering what you guys think about the fact that the Jets doing this time and time again, the way they're conducting business, it's really like, I mean, they're just continually shooting themselves in the foot because they're just decreasing the chance of getting anybody they want to.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, by doing business the way they're doing it.
But I think right now, it was inevitable. And I think Connor laid that out correctly, that Joe Douglas's power had kind of been taken away over the last.
But that decreases the chances of getting anyone you want, to his point.
Yeah.
Maybe not firing him today, but basically neutering your general manager for the last 11 months.
But
that may contribute.
But you know what? I almost hear that as if Joe, his contract was up, right?
Yes, his contract was running up at the end of this season.
So it was like, we're not retaining you, and so we're taking away whatever power you have. And then it got to a point where it's like, why are we keeping you? So we just fired you.
But who's making the decisions then?
Woody.
That's a problem.
Right.
That's a horrible, horrible problem.
With Phil Savage.
Tiki, I'm a big football fan,
mm-hmm.
okay? And this will not hurt my feelings. I love watching football.
Yes.
Do you think I have any freaking idea really what I'm doing if I ran the Jets?
No,
thank you. Not offended, it's truth.
Right.
Do you think Woody Johnson knows any more football than most of us as just good Jet fans who watch every game?
Yes, because he's owned the team for a long time.
He doesn't. You think he knows more? What does he know about football than losing?
Well, most of football is people. It's like knowing people.
Okay, he knows people, but he doesn't know the decisions. I can't make decisions as an NFL executive. I'd be lying if I did. And I think Woody Johnson's like all of us. So if he's making those decisions over a trained guy like Joe Douglas, who's been in the league mm-hmm. for years and years, learning from some of the greats like Ozzie Newsome and Howie Roseman, dude, I'm sorry. Woody making those decisions gives me a stomachache. Just like if I was making the decisions, it would be bad. I'm a sports fan. We love having strong opinions around here, but I also know I can't run an NFL team. I wish Woody knew that.
Well, I mean, running an NFL team and running your organization are two different things, because the NFL team requires a football like IQ. There's a level of understanding, one, the player, like the football player, how they behave and act and what motivates them, which I'm sure Woody has some inkling of. But is he part of it every day? And if you're not part of it every day, then you're going to miss something. You know what I mean? If you're not there mm-hmm. every day in that locker room around guys, you're going to miss something. But then the other side of it is just running the business that is the game, that is your organization. And I mean, I don't know what the Jets' revenue is, but I guarantee you, it's not bad.
Yeah, they just raised ticket prices again.
They
have no damn shame. They're coming off a year like this. They're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to raise ticket prices. Yes, as a businessman and as business people, they're doing a great job.
Yes.
When it comes to winning football games, they are actually the worst in the NFL at it by a lot. It's not even close. Over the last decade and a half, there has been no franchise more inept than the New York Jets. Now, you want to go a little small sample sizes? 3-year sample sizes? 5-year sample sizes? Sure. They've got great competition from inept organizations like the Carolina Panthers, and I apologize, the New York Giants. Mm. But if you go back to 2011, 2012, which is a good decade plus, they're the worst. So I give them credit for the business. I give them credit for making money off schlubs like myself. Good for them. That's great. But when it comes to winning football, they're literally the worst at it.
Yeah, but they are, I'm now looking, the fifth most valuable franchise.
Great! That's fantastic!
They're just behind the New York Giants.
Oh, wow. Can't catch the Giants. Let's go to Ronnie in Franklin Square. How are you, Ronnie?
What's going on, Evan and Tiki?
What's up, dude?
How we doing, guys? Good. You guys are the Miami Vice of the midday over there, you two. I got a question. I know he's not in the league. I know he has issues. And I'm not a Jet fan, by no means. But the GM or the coach, wouldn't John Gruden be a name? He demands respect. He knows how to run a team a little bit. He's kind of hard-nosed.
Well, the thing is, Ronnie, a lot of people like John Gruden. Gio's brought it up a lot over the last few weeks. I respectfully disagree with all of you guys. I think he's completely overrated. John Gruden hasn't won anything in two decades. Like, in Vegas, he wasn't that good.
Right. The problem is, like, his success happened, and then he left.
Yeah.
Like, for 10 years.
Well, not even that. Like, he had success, and then at the end of his time in Tampa, he was very mediocre. We call that Jeff Fisherian.
It was worse than mediocre.
It wasn't good.
They fired him.
Right. They got rid of him.
Yeah.
And then he pops up back with the Raiders, and he wasn't very good there. We forget that because we think of how he got removed and the emails and the leak and everything that goes along with that, which is worthy of talking about if we ever get to the spot of wanting to hire him. But I'm telling you right now, he ain't the answer, in my opinion. Like, that would not excite me because I don't think John Gruden's done anything in the last two decades. Like, I think he's got a great personality, and he's really funny on Barstool, and I think that was a great hire by them and a great career decision
what's
by him.
What's he doing, by the way?
He talks football with the guys, and it's funny. And he's very entertaining.
Of course he is.
Like, having a beer with John Gruden, sure. Having him save my franchise.
Is that what they do?
I've seen a few videos. They weren't necessarily drinking beers, but I'm just saying in general, he seems like a guy that I would have fun with at night. Well, that sounds weird. We would hang out with each other at night.
He transitioned them to Las Vegas. That's interesting. I don't think I remember that.
Yeah, because he was coaching in Oakland and then was a part of that move. But look what they didn't win any. They weren't any good.
Yeah, they had one 500 year.
People are obsessed with the idea of John Gruden, the idea of, you know, the videos he used to do on ESPN and the personality. And they're also endeared by the fact that he won a Super Bowl. But he won that Super Bowl a million years ago.
2002.
Like, we got to keep that in mind. What?
I'm like funnel brained. I hear so much hypocrisy in your voice.
Concerning what?
I don't, by the way, I want to make this clear. I'm with you on John Gruden.
But okay.
Everything you're saying, you had about this quarterback discussion a year ago. Won a Super Bowl a million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take the chance of a new guy that's an unknown. I want the known. You could apply this to John Gruden in hiring a Ben Johnson or something like that. You don't know what those guys are going to be saying.
I'll tell you the difference. And it's not hypocrisy. It's that moments in time change. The Jets are now in a position where they've got to rebuild. 2 years ago or a year ago when we were talking about the Jet quarterback spot,
yep.
I looked at a roster that was close. I looked at it. Maybe I was just dead wrong about that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. They won 7 games. They had a really good defense. And I looked at them and said, boy, they just need better quarterback play. And so you got a guy in Aaron Rodgers who was coming off a mediocre year that I could attribute to a finger issue or a thumb issue, and I saw him win the MVP the year before that. That's far different than John Gruden. I mean, Aaron Rodgers won the MVP 2 years earlier, and I think with where the franchise was, it made sense to go for it. Where the Jets are right now, I'm not in a go-for-it mood with a head coach that hasn't had success in a decade and a half.
Yeah, so...
So I hope you see the differences, not only between the choices, but also my thinking as a fan, that they're in a very different spot than they were 2 years ago.
I think the challenge for the Jet fan, and the organization, really, is that they want this immediate success. And it's a process to become a successful team, organization, everything else. But they're trying to jump it, and it's just hard to do.
Well, hold on. I don't agree with that, and I'll tell you why, okay? We were very patient when the Jets decided to rebuild, and we sat through tanking seasons, and we sat through collecting good young talent, whether it was Garrett and Sauce, and before that, Quinnen Williams. Hold on, though, because where you say we jumped it, here's where we jumped it. and maybe I'm just wrong about where I thought the organization was. I thought they developed a really good defense. I thought they developed some decent players on offense that were just missing a quarterback. And unfortunately, they missed on Zach Wilson.
That's when you jumped it.
No, but I didn't jump it because I just spent 3 years rebuilding. So you can't say we jumped the line. We weren't jumping anything. We were saying, let's go get a real quarterback because with all this we created over the last 3 years of being bad, we're ready to win.
Okay.
I don't think that's jumping.
Go. When you went to go get Aaron Rodgers, you tried to jump the line. You took the shortcut.
No, but what about the long cut of the previous 3 years, though?
It doesn't matter.
Why?
Because you built something, and then you just completely disrupted it.
Because we knew the quarterback wasn't the answer.
Okay, but there were many. You said this earlier.
Yeah.
And you're more right than you know.
Go ahead. I like this.
Going to get a different veteran would have been so much more prudent than going to get Aaron Rodgers.
It turns out that way.
No, it's just the reality of
that
way.
But we didn't think it at the time because we thought this is the best guy to get.
Because you were trying to jump it.
No, we weren't trying to jump it. We were trying to say, let's get a real quarterback. Isn't getting a veteran jumping it too, though, Teak?
No.
Isn't it the same thing?
No, because a guy who's Derek Carr, who's, what was he? He was released.
Yeah.
Right? Or no, not re-signed. I can't remember.
No, they released him. I think it was very similar to the Daniel Jones kind of,
right.
We don't want to pay you.
Right, that's right. So he was released. So he's on the street.
Right.
That's the kind of guy you should go get.
Yeah, but I don't think, where I disagree with you is the difference between jumping the
line.
You
don't need to go get the best quarterback. You need to go get a serviceable quarterback.
But why not get the better one?
One, it was complicated.
Okay.
And just as well as anybody, Aaron Rodgers is unique.
Yeah, and it backfired. I admit it didn't work.
Unique.
But I also, the process at the time wasn't jumping the line. It was saying we just spent 3 years building this really solid roster. At least we thought. We failed at quarterback.
Evan,
let's go
forget,
get a real quarterback.
Do you forget how obnoxious you Jet fans were when you got Aaron Rodgers?
Is that what this is about?
Yes.
What did we do?
You were obnoxious. It was like all of a sudden we're winning a championship.
Well.
All of you were.
We were excited.
But for what?
Well, for nothing apparently. But at the time we were excited.
I'm having major deja vu with this discussion. This is all reminding me of Knicks fans trying to talk to me after the Nets blew apart. And they're like, do you realize how obnoxious you were? And I'm like, what? We were just excited.
But
it feels like this is the same conversation.
It is.
But that's what Tiki's point was. When you added Aaron Rodgers, yes, he was the best quarterback by name and by past trajectory. But what it did was it put immense pressure to jump from a team that hadn't even played in a wild card playoff game.
Yeah, been in the postseason in 8 years.
I understand.
You needed more of a stabilizer that everybody would have looked at the regime and said, we get it if you don't win a Super Bowl. And then gave you breath any one of the next three drafts. Take a shot at a quarterback to go behind that guy.
So your end game would have been, go get Derek Carr, because that was really
like him, whoever it was.
He was honestly, looking back at that market, that was it. People are going to say Lamar Jackson, they are BSing you. Lamar was never really available.
Baker technically wasn't available.
Was Baker available that year? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, wait, this is Aaron's first year. No, he was.
Yeah, you got to remember, it was a first year, yeah. It was the same year you guys kept Daniel Jones.
Yeah, so Baker was available.
Baker was available. Okay, so you're right. It was a Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr-ish, hey, let's try to win. You're not, in all likelihood, winning a Super Bowl with either guy. And you're merely saying, Sean is, you're not saying this, but maybe you agree, go just have some success for a few years and just continue to try to draft a quarterback in the meantime.
But that's true.
No. Just make the playoffs and scratch that itch. Don't go try to win the Super Bowl.
Isn't the whole point of trying to win a Super Bowl? Isn't that what we're here for?
Yeah, but you build your core team where they taste the playoffs. And I just think that if you took a quarterback like Mayfield or Carr, you breathe there. Look, think about what the Giants are about to deal with this year. All the pressure on getting the quarterback right. You basically give yourself 3 years to go, you know what? Like the Packers did with Jordan Love or the Chiefs when they had Alex Smith. Now's the time we're going to take a quarterback. It just gives you a chance to breathe. And maybe that quarterback then, now you've built up a core that's tasted some playoff. Boom. Here it is, ready-made team to go. You put all this pressure on Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl.
I think Tiki already revealed what's deep in his thoughts. Me, and I'm one guy, but I represented many, we were very, very obnoxious after they got Aaron Rodgers. I was wrong!
You made yourselves hateable. You were lovable losers. Why are you hateable?
Well, we're back, okay? We're back with losers again. Is that what you wanted?
No, I
is that
want
what you
football
wanted?
In this town, but can we just... I'm obnoxious all the time, too. So
yeah, you of all people. Tiki, at least, he's never obnoxious.
I'm hypocritical. We're all thirsty. We're all desperate. But I don't know, man. Aaron Rodgers just made all you Jet fans something you weren't. You were cocky and arrogant with no baseline to be cocky and arrogant.
That's exactly it, Sean.
I think that
cocky and arrogant for no reason.
Yeah.
So they were Knicks fans. I gotcha.
It's like someone driving a Ferrari without a pot to wedding.
I think there were some who acted that way. I don't think I ever acted that way as a Jet fan. I was excited.
This is the problem with Evan Roberts.
I was hopeful. We didn't have the problem.
He wasn't cocky.
This is the problem with Evan Roberts.
I always knew it end badly, like I did with the Nets. What?
You are a sensible, albeit at times strange, human being.
Very strange.
Thank you.
But the ironic part about you when it comes to the Nets, the Mets, and the Jets is that I think, as much as you are the voice of those fans on this show, you are not actually properly representing what that fan base brings to the table socially. You just aren't. Yeah. Most of the Jet fans we interacted with, the street or anything else, nice people, completely obnoxious, arrogant a-holes when they hit Aaron Rodgers.
Evan's not the proper...
And you're not that guy. So you don't see that because you're not that. And you think everybody's like you when the point is nobody's like you. You're one of a kind, man.
But I also... Thank you. I can't defend every single person who is a Jet fan and how they reacted when they acquired Aaron Rodgers. I know how I felt. I liked the move. I didn't think it was skipping the line. I wanted to give this team a better chance to win. And I think my attitude was, last year and even this year, was I expected good things. I expected the playoffs. I expected to be good. I never expected to win at all. And I think a part of that is just being a loser fan that really can't see it until it happens.
Right.
So that's why I don't see myself as like this crazy Jet fan who was claiming we were winning the Super Bowl.
But I never claimed they were winning the Super Bowl. In Evan's defense, even though he fired positive Tommy from the Jets yesterday, Evan didn't really want... He wanted Lamar Jackson, I think. There were Jet fans that wanted Lamar. There were Jet fans that wanted Carr. It's not like all Jet fans wanted Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wanted the Jets.
Yeah, I want to preface the Lamar Jackson thing, okay? Yes, I always wanted Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. He was never really available.
No, he wasn't. He was both sides were jacking around with each other. And they feel like they were making big deals out of nothing. So.
No, that's why, like, we had separate conversations. If Lamar became available, of course I wanted him. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think that whole free agency that you described was ever legitimate.
Yeah, and wasn't there also, I think it was Boomer that said this, that Derek Carr maybe won't be able to handle the East Coast. He's a Fresno guy. He ended up going to New Orleans. Right. In hindsight, Baker Mayfield was the guy. That guy's got stones. He's a fighter. He would have fit perfectly here for either team.
Here's why I'm skeptical of that.
Baker would fit well anywhere.
Yeah.
I think personality, you guys are right. Like, I think Baker would have lived the New York lifestyle well and would have handled the media. You need the right coaches around him. Like, was LaFleur and Saleh going to get the best out of him?
Todd Bowles is his head coach.
I understand, but it's not just Todd Bowles.
It was, what was his name? In Carolina now. Why am I forgetting his name?
Oh, Matt Rhule?
Canales.
Dave Canales. That was his coordinator his first year in Tampa. Now Canales is but it's Liam Cohen?
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. He was a college coach. So it's... Baker just has like this it about him, and there's a coolness about him as well that makes him a great locker room guy. There's no pretense to it. He would have been the guy, to be honest with you.
But
now you think about it.
But you know what you guys are doing? You know what you're all doing?
It's hindsight.
We're revising. It's hindsight. Yes. It's like we're relooking at history.
Right.
But that's, look, we're sports talk radio. Did you
think that they should have gotten Aaron Rodgers at the time? Forget how obnoxious we ended up becoming. Did you think it was the right football move when they didn't give up anything to get him? They literally sign him.
I mean, eventually they did give up something to get him, actually. I thought it could be a problem in real time. Mm. Obviously great because he's awesome, because he's a fantastic player, of course. But there's just a lot about him that has been said, and I don't know. It's just... He's just unique.
I gotcha. It's been an all-time disaster. The one thing I'm always honest about is it's easy when something is terrible to say, what were you all thinking? Mm-hmm. And to relate it to the Nets, because they're the kind of the story of something going bad. And I would argue this with anybody. They made the right decisions getting superstars like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. There's no denying that. Just because it didn't work didn't mean it was the bad decision at the time.
The Nets still in the league.
And I think the Aaron Rodgers thing is kind of the same thing.
But I think it's a little bit different, because this isn't really about Aaron Rodgers. It's about Aaron Rodgers coming to a non-winning franchise and everybody thinking that he was going to turn them into a winner.
That's a fair point. And he wasn't able to do that.
Well, it's not... He shouldn't be able to do that.
Well, if he
was... One guy is not changing a program from a team that hasn't made the postseason in 12 years.
But hold on a second. If Patrick Mahomes walk through that door tomorrow.
If Pat Mahomes walked through that door tomorrow, the Jets would still find ways to mess it up. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you.
Nah, it makes me laugh. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's a perfect.
Like, why do you think it's an accident that teams are perpetually underperforming and bad?
Because they're run by like people that don't know what they're doing.
I mean, yeah.
Yes. So it's yes. Like,
there's a reason that the Kansas City Chiefs are the way that they are, because they've been run at a high level for a long time. There's a reason that the San Francisco 49ers are where they are. Yeah, I know they can't win the ultimate championship, but you know what? Most of us would take the San Francisco 49ers history over the last half a decade.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because they're always in the postseason. There's always a chance. The Buffalo Bills, ever since you know that new team took over up there, I mean, they've been fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I don't. It's a culture. One guy's not going to change it.
No.
One player is not going to
change it. Patrick Mahomes walks through the door. We just ruin him, too. We'd make him terrible. We'd make him just this horrible quarterback with an annoying voice and a wife that some people love and some people hate.
And at 38 years old, he will walk through that
door. That's inevitable. Oh, Ed is in Wontaw. How are you, Ed?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
So, you know, a lot of this stuff has to do with, you know, these hirings have to do with relationships, experience, success. You know, you want as much of that as you can possibly get. So I've got a name that I want to throw out to Tiki. You know about this stuff a lot better than anybody else. Scott Paoli and Mike Vrabel as a combination.
Yeah, Paoli, when was the last time he was in
Kansas City a decade ago? Right. And it didn't go well.
Right, it's been a while. I mean, it's almost like Phil Savage, who's the interim right now. Vrabel is a different story. Vrabel's fantastic as a coach. He's ornery as hell.
Mm-hmm.
He is hard to deal with as a broadcaster because he doesn't give you anything. You don't know if he's messing with you or he's just trying to make you laugh. It's bizarre having production meetings with him because I like him, but I'm like, he's so standoffish and rude. But I don't think Scott Paoli, in a good way.
Gotcha. This organization needs that, trust me.
No, seriously.
Robert Saleh was too nice. We need a standoffish and rude, you know, douchey guy.
And he'd be great.
Yeah.
Because he's a good head coach, obviously. Obviously, Vrabel, I think, would be great. Scott Paoli, when was the last time he was an executive?
He was the GM of the Kansas City Chiefs between 2009 and 2012. And they weren't good.
And hasn't been.
He was the assistant Falcons GM for the 5 years following in 2019.
And what's he done since?
TV.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it. He was in New England. You know, everybody had success in New England in that tree that worked.
Yeah.
And when he tried to fly on his own, he wasn't that good. Vrabel, who is a part of New England, has obviously flown on his own.
Right.
But a lot of the Patriot guys, whether it's Romeo Crennel or Charlie Weiss or Joe Judge, you name the guy, it hasn't really worked.
Maybe Paoli is the guy.
I mean, he does have 3 Super Bowls.
With New England.
And who's Paoli's wife?
I have no idea.
Bill Parcells' daughter.
Is that right? Scott Paoli's wife is. You know what that reminds me of?
Is that right?
Yeah.
That reminds me of the fact that Richard Nixon's daughter married Dwight Eisenhower's grandson. How crazy is that?
Wow.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
David Eisenhower married Richard Nixon's daughter. That's very similar to the Paoli-Parcells connection.
And also, Bill Parcells is a Hall of Fame Giants coach named his daughter Dallas.
Wow.
What?
That's who Paoli is married to. His wife's name is Dallas.
What year was Dallas born in? You got to do a little backstory on this, all right? Find out, not that I want to put on blast how old she is, but so don't even give us the age. Just tell us the year she was born, because most of our audience can't do math.
It also could be trolling. Chipper Jones named his son or daughter Shay, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Name is Kid Shay.
Yeah, that's true.
So it could be trolling.
That could be a part of it. You have the year that she was born?
Not yet.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sean.
He's ready to go with the info.
I'm going.
He's looking. Yeah. He's trying to find out. Look, I also want to have an uncomfortable conversation with Jet fans about Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vrabel, yes, he'd be great. What a great hire. Right. He's ornery. You said it. He had success. There is no chance in hell Mike Vrabel's taking this job. He's not. He knows about the Jets having all those years in New England. He knows what Bill thinks of the Jets. He has his own opinions of the Jets. And Mike Vrabel's going to get, I don't want to say the pick of the litter, but he's going to get a lot of options. He's going to have a lot of really good choices. And there's no way after he's done making this decision, he's going to come to the conclusion, Woody Johnson and the Jets. It's not happening.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So that's why we have to, not that Aaron Glenn and Brian Flores aren't great options, they're good options, but I think we have to think more realistic in terms of who would actually want to work here.
Well, I think it's also, the most important thing that they're going to do, the Jets, is the GM hire. Because that's who's going, that's how you're going to get your coach.
Yeah, I think they're going to follow the Giant model of Shane to Dable. Not that it's going to be that, but let's get a GM, and there's probably going to end up hiring someone with a connection to them. We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.